Show up, didn't you? But I've got the test for you.
Oh, good.
Probably couldn't give away this first one. It's a key. Faith is the evidence of things hopeful. Huh?
Faith is the evidence of things hopeful.
Not the substance.
Evidence
of things not seen. You were hoping to not see me, and you had faith. Since you got that first, I'll give you the test last. Okay. Tape students pick up Jeremiah test number 3, file 7. Be in the library. No stopping the tape and studying for half an hour first. Okay, I have 20 minutes for the test. We'll stop at 20 after. I'll check and make sure everybody's done. So I finished with this, I think.
I
Thank you. How many need more time? Anybody? Okay, we're done. Good. Exchange papers. Okay. Multiple choice, question number one. King Nebuchadnezzar's name contains the name of which god? Should be pretty easy. Number E, Nebo. Nebo. Number two, 3 points. During the reign of King Zedekiah, God told Jeremiah, "And unto this people, Judah, thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." What did this prophecy mean? Answer is C. Those who surrendered to the Chaldeans would live, while those who stayed in Jerusalem and fought would die. Number three, Jeremiah 22:10 says, "Weep ye not for the dead, neither bemoan him, but weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country." Identify one, the dead, and two, him that goeth away. The answer is A, Josiah and Jehoahaz. Question number four, which king was the object of the following prophecy? They shall not lament for him saying, Ah, my brother, or Ah, sister. They shall not lament for him saying, Ah, Lord, or Ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Answer is C, Jehoiakim. Which king was referred to in this prophecy? Thus saith the Lord, Write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. The answer is A, Jehoiakim. Number six, which group of people is primarily in view when Jeremiah uses the term pastors? Answer is A, civil rulers. Civil rulers. Number seven, Jeremiah 23:5 contains a messianic prophecy of the righteous branch. What sort of growth is indicated by the Hebrew word translated branch? The answer is B, a sprout which springs up from the root of a fallen tree. Number eight, in what manner did the people ask Jeremiah concerning the burden of the Lord? The answer is C, with mocking. Chapter 24, number 9, Jeremiah sees a vision of two baskets of figs set before the temple. One basket contained good figs and the other contained evil figs. Who or what did these figs represent? The answer is B. Good figs were the Jews in captivity in Babylon, and bad figs were Jews remaining in Judah. So B is the answer. What year did Babylon incorporate Judah into her empire as a tributary? The answer is C, 605 B.C. 11. What event transpired in that year, referring to question 10, which was to have long-range international repercussions? The answer is C, the defeat of Pharaoh Necho's Egyptian forces at Carchemish by the Babylonian army. Number 12. Why was the Babylonian captivity to last 70 years? The answer is B, because the Jews had failed to let the land have its Sabbath rest for a total of 70 years. Number 13. In chapter 25, what does Jeremiah, in a vision or allegory, take from God and send to the nations? The answer is E, a wine cup. Have to know what's in each chapter, don't you? Number 14, what is the meaning of the term Shishak? The answer is D, Babel. During Jeremiah's arrest, number 15, and trial in the temple, the elders of the land defended him by appealing to the case of an earlier prophet. Who was that prophet? The answer is C, Micah. Number 16, why did Jeremiah say amen to the false prophecy of Hananiah? The answer is C. In himself, Jeremiah could wish that the content of Hananiah's prophecy were true, although he knew that it was not. Okay, number 17, what was the punishment for Hananiah the prophet? The answer is B, death. Matching, always fun. Number 1, Ahab, son of Kolaiah. The answer is F, one of the false prophets among the exiles in Babylonia, burned to death by Nebuchadnezzar. Number 2, Ahikam, son of Shaphan. G, rescued Jeremiah from priests and prophets during his trial in the temple. Ahikam. Elasa, son of Shaphan, number 3. The answer is A, one of the two men who carried Jeremiah's letters to the exiles in Babylonia. That's what I gave you that big, thick handout for, so you could know all these things. Number 4, Shemaiah, the Nehelamite. The answer is H, a false prophet among Babylonian exiles who wrote a letter to priests in Jerusalem to have Jeremiah arrested. Number 5, Urijah, son of Shemaiah. The answer is D, the prophet who fled to Egypt and was executed by Jehoiakim. Number 6, Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah. Get all these letters together here. Is C, one of Zedekiah's envoys to Jeremiah. He also read Shemaiah's letter to Jeremiah. So for matching, it was number 1 is F, number 2 is G, number 3 is A, number 4 is H, number 5 is D, number 6 is C. So count up the number wrong.
I got that one from letter C. Also read Shemaiah's letter. So I just wanted to find out who wrote the letter.
Nathan was the one. It's in Jeremiah 26. Yes.
Question 10.
Oh, before we'll take it page by page, okay? So take the number, count the number wrong, okay? Now I want you to multiply it by 2. It's not too tough. Number wrong multiplied by 2, okay? And subtract that from 100 and write that score on the top. Look better the other way. Well. Yeah, you'd like it if I let you subtract it from 100. That would just move the curve way high. It would. It does. You're better to do it this way, honestly, because the way the curve is set up. A bell curve, the way it's set up, when you drop down lower, the bell curve doesn't move nearly as much as you'd like it to. So, when they're real high, it's like a 96. If you've got a real high curve, a 96 can be an A minus. Easily, an A minus. See, so you don't necessarily want a real high curve. I mean, I want you to have a high curve, but in other words, you don't have to. Okay, any questions on page number 1? Questions 1 through 3. He's got a perfect score anyway. He's not going to ask any questions on it. Right? Page 2. Uh-oh, there goes the curve, huh? Page 2. Any questions on page 2? Questions 4 through 8. 4 through 8. How about page 3? Questions 9 through 13.
Questions. What happened in the 597? Question 10. I just had
that. That was when Zedekiah began to reign. What else happened in 597? Whatever happened in the first year of the reign of Zedekiah. Can't remember. There's something else there. I think there was. That was Zedekiah was took because Jehoiakim was taken away. Okay, and so he was set in place. He was so I guess you could say that Babylon came and took Jehoiakim away at that time too.
They were tributaries up until then.
By that time, yeah, they were tributaries already. Any other questions on page 3? Page 4. This is easy. I like this one. This is a pretty straightforward test, actually. It's kind of one of those where you either knew it or you didn't. Some of you are saying, I didn't. Okay, page 4, any questions? Last page, matching, any questions? That one's pretty straightforward too, yeah. You either knew those or you didn't know them. Well, when you get into those names, that's tough. I looked at that, I was going to do it to myself, and I thought, no, I think I'll just take the key and use the answer. I don't have to study for these, so I'm not going to.
I have to study for a lot more. Just don't force me to take the test. Okay, so pass the test to the front.
And we'll continue on with Jeremiah. Good, we did real well. I wanted to cover more ground than Jeremiah. We're running slightly behind my schedule, and we may just catch it up today. Set this schedule for myself for all my classes at the beginning of the year, and hit it real close so far. Last week we didn't do so well. We're 3 chapters behind. But when you get to in the later chapters here of Jeremiah, you're moving so fast anyway, you can make that up in a day. So I didn't feel too bad.
Oh, I haven't really decided yet. I'll let you know. If we do have a final, it'll probably be like the last day of class, more than likely. So it'll be a comprehensive class.
On the whole book.
Yeah, I think it's a 112-point test. So, it would be good to have it, too. It's just a matter of whether we have the time. I do want to spend some time in Lamentations, so we'll see. We get caught up today. Now, that doesn't mean if you ask a lot of questions that we won't have the final. I may just say, no more questions. You have to be thinking ahead all the time. Not that I would ever suspect your motives, but I might still say, well, not too many more questions. Okay, chapter 39 was where we left off, verse 4, I think it was. Is that right? Yeah, and it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them, and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. Now he had been told, stay in the city and live. Here he goes. Compare chapter 52, verse 7. You'll see that they were chased. Verse 5, but the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. See, God told him what the judgment was going to be. Stay in the city. Submit. See, the Babylonians, if they find somebody that would submit to them, they're not gonna do nearly as much damage to them if they're gonna fight against them. Rebellious people always get it far worse than people that submit. That's the truth. In the long run, to proper authority, you know, they always get it far worse. Even if the submission is just a legalistic thing, well, I gotta do it, so I'm gonna do it. You'll do far better than if you rebel. And do it your own way. Now, Riblah was probably a command post. It's south of Kadesh on the river Orontes. It was a strategic location. So that puts it pretty far south if it's south of Kadesh. Verse 6, then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes, and also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. So his eyes were put out, and they were slain before his very eyes, his own sons. Not a pleasant thing. He could have lived. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 13. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. Speaking of Zedekiah. And I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. That's what was said. He shall not see it. This was prophesied before he went into captivity, because Ezekiel was also a prophet beforehand. He shall not see it. It was prophesied of beforehand. Verse 8.
And the Chaldeans burn the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Just like was promised. You may compare chapter 52, verse 13 here. Verse 9. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. These went into captivity, yes, but they were alive. They were alive. Those that fell away were those who did as Jeremiah prophesied and told them to do. They submitted to Babylon, and they lived. Verse 10 and 11. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left to the poor of the people which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. So those that submitted and that were the poorest of the poor, they were allowed to stay in the land. They didn't see, you know, those are the ones that will be a burden anyway. They're not going to fight against you. You're not going to have any problem with them. They're just happy to be able to be alive. Yes? The really poor? No. The bad figs were those who didn't submit at all. These are just the really, really poor who had nothing. The bad figs, yeah, they were the ones that suffered killing. And really, when he gave that bad figs and good figs, he was speaking more of those who were in leadership position. Now, of course, it was, you know, others were affected by it. But basically, these prophecies have really been to the leaders. It's been to the people, too, but to the leaders, because the people follow the leaders. And, of course, the people suffer along with the leaders when they suffer. Verse 11, now Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying... Now verses 11 through 14 show Jeremiah being set free from prison by Nebuzaradan under the orders of Nebuchadnezzar. Now it may have been that they had been informed of Jeremiah's message that favored Babylon. Or possibly it was just directed by God. God knew how to deal with Cyrus. So he can deal with Nebuchadnezzar too. He even spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that later on in Daniel? We see him speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, after he went mad and God restored him because of his pride, he proclaimed that Yahweh was God of heaven. So God could have directed him. Now the entire matter shows that God is protecting the prophet just the way he said he would. Now Jeremiah was committed to Gedaliah, whom King Nebuchadnezzar appointed governor. And Gedaliah takes Jeremiah to the governor's home, and he's now free to mingle with the people that remain. So Gedaliah was set up as governor over the land. Now the heathen king here honors God's prophet far more than the Jewish people. And how ironic that is. A heathen honors him more. That's why Jesus said a prophet is without honor in his own home. His own country, his own people, he has no honor. Now verses 15 through 18 show God blessing Ebed-Melech. And this section connects with chapter 38, verse 28, chronologically. In other words, while he was in prison, you remember Ebed-Melech pulled him up out of the pit, out of the dungeon. We see that in chapter 38. And here is God's blessing. The servant of the king. That's what Ebed-Melech means. Servant of the king. That's what Ebed-Melech means. It means servant of the king. The servant of the king will always be blessed if he's faithful. It's a type. It's a picture. Yes. It connects chronologically with chapter 38, verse 28. In other words, it's a follow-on, right? It's because it's talking about when he was in prison there. And this is the blessing to Ebed-Melech for what he did for Jeremiah. God is blessing him. Didn't I say 38:28? Well, in chapter 38, we have verse 12, And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, Put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes and under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So, chapter 38, Ebed-Melech pulled him up out of the pit, just like I said. So, it connects chronologically with chapter 38, verse 28. 38:28. Right. I'm just saying that this would be added on to that chapter chronologically. Because this whole story proceeds, and it's just talking about how Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken up. In other words, I mean, we could put it somewhere else inside the chapter if we wanted to. But I'm saying that, see, because chapter 39 starts with the ninth year of Zedekiah, which is a different It's a different time period, so this basically fits in here. See, the time period here was actually a little later. Although what we get is kind of a compressed history in chapter 39. So, however you want to see it. Just in terms of chronology, it's fitting with the story of Ebed-Melech. Now, when he actually gave it, it may have been later on anyway. But see, what we see here is the time when this is after Zedekiah, so it's after Zedekiah's 11th year. He's out of prison by this point in time, and then we get this. See, so chronologically, in terms of why the blessing would have come, it actually fits back a little ways. That's all I'm saying. Okay? Chapter 40. Verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains, along all that were carried away, among all that were carried away, captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive into Babylon. Now Ramah was the place of deportation, as we saw in chapter 31, verse 15. Now what we see here is that Jeremiah is in chains. Now he'd been released from prison, been sent to the Gedaliah's house, but somehow he ended up, by mistake probably, being bound up in chains. Now this was corrected, as we'll see. It was probably done ignorantly. No one would knowingly defy King Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he was in power at the time, and he was, you know, why would they bother? They didn't really care in one sense. This is another of the many tests of Jeremiah's faith. So God tested him still. He'd been delivered from prison. Now he finds himself bound up again. Yahweh would continue to see him through. And it was a test to see whether we would believe that. Verse 2. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, The Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. So he's speaking with the captain of the guard. He recognizes Yahweh as Jeremiah's God. Verse 3 through 5. Now the Lord had brought it and done according as he hath said, because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed his voice, therefore this thing has come upon you. Now, this is the captain of the guard speaking. This is the heathen speaking. And now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Whither it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, thither go. Captain of the guard, an important man, he's talking with Jeremiah, and he's saying, go wherever you want, Jeremiah. If you want to come with me, I'll take good care of you. He recognized and honored Jeremiah. Verse 5, for now while he was not yet gone back, he said, so in other words, Jeremiah was hesitating, go back also to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon hath made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people. Or go wheresoever it seemeth convenient unto thee to go. So the captain of the guard gave him victuals and a reward, and let him go. So Jeremiah had not responded to his freedom. In other words, he hadn't gone back to Gedaliah, and he was uncertain. So he says, go ahead and go back. Go back to Gedaliah. That's really where you belong. And this recommendation is given to him, and it basically settled the entire matter for Jeremiah. He recognized, well, this is what I should do. Now, Gedaliah means Yahweh is great. Yahweh is great. Victuals, some pronounce it victuals, is food. This food. He gave him food and reward, which was money. Now, he probably lost all of this in prison. They'd taken it all away from him. So they blessed him, supplied his needs. Verse 6. God is taking care of Jeremiah, even though it's a bit of a trial. You know, it's like Joseph, cast into the pit. So then he gets sold. Then he finds himself in a good place. He gets, you know, he gets to take care of. He gets sold to a man in high station. Everything's looking rosy. Now he's back in prison, you know. Then he's delivered from prison. See, there's trials that come along, and it looks like we get this tremendous deliverance, and then all of a sudden we're back under it. And we're going, what in the world's going on here? Well, God's just testing. He's just testing. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Let it have its perfect work. Don't despair. Verse 7. God will continue to test. Always test. Did I read verse 6? whatever. Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. Now when all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon. And I'll read the first part of verse 8. Then they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah. And it goes through a listing of who came. Now, what we see here is that this is the remnant of the army that hadn't been totally defeated. These were the ones that were out in the field. So there were still... See, when the army came in, it wasn't a picture of like they wiped them out to the man. There were some that were left. There were the poor that were left that they didn't bother with. You know, I mean, the army's not going to come in and pillage the poor, because who wants rags? You know, they came to pillage the rich and to take the important and remove them from the land. So there's poor, and there's a remnant of the army that's been kind of, you know, they've been waiting for a chance to fight, you know, or maybe they've done some fighting and, you know, they've retreated because basically they've lost and they know it. So they come to Gedaliah. Now Gedaliah in verses 8 through 11 recommends submission, and he himself submits. Verse 12, even all the Jews returned out of all places whither they were driven and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah unto Mizpah and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. So finally they would submit. And God provided and blessed them. They had summer fruits and wine, and so they were blessed. Now Mizpah is where Gedaliah would rule from. And Mizpah means watchtower. And it was north of Jerusalem. Verses 13 and 14. Problems. Moreover, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were in the fields, came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, and said unto him, Dost thou certainly know that Balas is the king of the Ammonites, hath sent Ishmael the son of Nethaniah to slay thee? But Gedaliah the son of Ahikam believed them not. Ishmael was of the royal seed, as we see in chapter 41, verse 1. And he was probably jealous. He wanted the land for himself. He wanted to rule for himself. I mean, after all, he was of the royal seed. And Balas was a greedy king seeking spoil from a weakened people. You know, whatever was left over, he wanted to take from them. There's always those who seek to take advantage, those that are in the poorest state. So Ishmael is sent by Balas to kill him. Ishmael thinking he'll get the land to himself. He'll get the blessing of Balas too. But Gedaliah didn't believe them. And this was a fatal mistake. You can't be naive. You can't just say, well, this is not going to happen. You got to be on guard. God must be in the watchtower. You got to be watching. It says that unless God watch, they that watch, watch in vain. Well, this one wasn't even watching. God was watching for him, but he wasn't watching. You have to have both. See, if the watchman won't watch, then what good does it do for God to watch? Well, the watchmen were watching. They heard what was going on. They came to him, but he wouldn't believe. He wasn't watching. Well, it was a fatal mistake. We see in verse 15 and 16, Johanan wanted to kill Ishmael because Ishmael wanted to kill Gedaliah, and so he wanted to protect Gedaliah. But Gedaliah refused it, thinking that Johanan spoke falsely of Ishmael. And it was a fatal error. Chapter 41. Now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, and the princes of the king, even 10 men with him, came unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. Now this is 3 months after the capture of Jerusalem, as we see by comparing chapter 39, verse 2. And they came and they ate bread. Psalm 41, verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Here it was right before him. He'd heard that Ishmael wanted to kill him. But he came and ate bread with him. Now, this was a sign of a covenant between people and trust. Gedaliah was trusting. This is what Judas did to Jesus also. Came and ate bread with him. Matthew chapter 26, verses 21 and 25. And then he betrayed him. Then arose Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and slew him, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. So they came and they killed him. He didn't listen, and they killed him. Ishmael also slew of the Jews, all of the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans that were found there, and the men of war. And verse 4, it came to pass the second day after he had slain Gedaliah, and no man knew it. Now verses 4 through 10 show Ishmael killing others. In fact, he filled a pit with dead bodies. Murdering, butchering. Plus he took others captives, primarily the women and the children. He took them captive and was headed back to the Ammonites. King Balas was the Ammonites and had sent him, and he was headed back there with his spoil, with his booty. Now in verses 11 through 18, Johanan rescues the captives. Gedaliah is dead, but Johanan is still a valiant man. He's going to go rescue the captives. But then he prepared to go to Egypt for fear of Nebuchadnezzar. See, Gedaliah had been killed. He'd been appointed by Nebuchadnezzar. So now he's afraid. He's afraid of retribution from Nebuchadnezzar. So he's planning to go to Egypt. Now, Jeremiah may have been among the captives because he had been in Mizpah. So he may have been among the captives taken by Ishmael. But Johanan has him now. Chapter 42. Made quick work of that chapter. Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hosheiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near. Now this implies that Jeremiah had been with them, because evidently this is the same group. As you see in chapter 41, verse 16, it's the same group. And what we're going to see is verse 2, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet. Okay, so he was apparently with them. They came near and said to the prophet Jeremiah, "We beseech thee, let our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us." So he was there with them. Probably or possibly amongst the captives. Now, it may not have been so, but apparently he's right close by anyway. Now they said, "Thy God, pray unto thy God." But in verse 4 we see Jeremiah says that it's their God. It's their God also. And they acknowledge this in verse 6. They say they're few of many. This is a fulfillment of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 62. "And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God." Just exactly what he said. We're few in number. Point right back to Deuteronomy. God said so, if you would not obey. And they had not obeyed, and not obeyed, and not obeyed, and not obeyed, and not obeyed. And so they were few in number. God would now have a people to work with. Just a few. And the shaking has to come. That's what he did. He shook them out until there was only a few left. But you know what? Unfortunately, this few would still not respond to God. They still wouldn't respond to God. Any question?
What group was Jeremiah?
Well, he was probably with this group that came to him and spoke to him. We see him kind of in a close approximation or close vicinity with them. They came to him and spoke to him. Now, whether he came to him as part of the group or he was someplace else, separate, is not really clear. It's very possible he was just with the group, and then they came to him and spoke to him. So he would have been with the group of captives that was taken, and they came and took him. I mean, not with this group of, not these kings. Johanan is the one that came and rescued them. He was with the group of captives. And therefore, when they came and took the captives, then they spoke to Jeremiah. So he was probably with the captives. Did I get that mixed up in your mind, or did you? Was that clear? I think I may have confused that when I said it.
So he recaptured them before they went to Egypt.
Right. Yes. Right. And then Johanan was going to take them into Egypt, see. That's what we'll see when we get farther on in this. Just because Gedaliah was being the one that was appointed, that causes a lot of unrest, and so it might have been he was probably fearing retribution from Nebuchadnezzar, even though he wasn't at fault. See, Nebuchadnezzar is going to look at it like, oh, there's still unrest over there, and let's go over and just take care of him, wipe him out. That'll finish him. So that's probably why.
Yeah.